Hi, I'm Abby. I'm a mom and a writer.
Hi, I'm Melanie. I'm a mom and a writer.
Hi, I'm Jenny. I'm a mom and a book coach.
Welcome to Mom Writes, where we aren't slick, we aren't fancy, but we are real. This podcast is all about our coaching journey, writing a book from start to finish. It's real life writing, done at the kitchen table or in our spare 15 minutes between work and school pickup. This is how we get it done. It's the dirty laundry behind writing with kids. If you're interested in more information about Author Accelerator and the same coaching program we use, visit Jenny's website at www.authoraccelerator.com.
It's Thanksgiving week, and I'm thankful that you are joining us for the 72nd episode of Mom Writes. I'm thankful for a ton of stuff surrounding the podcast, and here is a short list. I'm thankful for an editor who never lets me forget next week's episode. I'm thankful that Mel always does the show notes because I straight up hate that part. I'm thankful that my husband and girls put up with my crankiness when I have to re-record the podcast intro 17 times because the dogs are barking. I'm thankful that every week I'm able to eke out time to write even if life gets crazy busy. But I'm really, really thankful for the solid advice that Jenny has for my story. This week is no exception. This week, we take a hard look at what I've written, what I have left to write, and where it makes sense to break it all up. You know, in terms of book one, book two, book three, if I'm lucky enough to get that far. This is the first, but not the last time I've encountered this problem over the course of writing my book. As I write forward, my story evolves and grows and changes, but the answer to my problem is always the same. Solve it with story, not plot.
We're back on Mom Writes.
Hi, everyone.
Everyone's here. Mel, Jenny, me, my chickens. I can hear them outside, hopefully.
Wait, did you find somebody to take your chicken?
Yeah, my girlfriend Elise is taking my chickens, which apparently everyone wants my stinking chickens. Everybody who comes to look at our house is like...
They're beautiful.
Is she
leaving? I told you I should write a picture book. Everybody wants my chicken.
Oh, I already told Lori Richmond we have to get on it. But she...
What is she? Does she love it?
She totally read something different into it. So I guess however it was that I worded it apparently was... had some undertones that she wrote back thinking.
Wait, she thinks people want to eat your chicken?
I don't know what she thinks, but I said, is it kind of like my milkshakes bring all the boys to the yard? I was like,
my chickens to the yard.
Everyone wants my chickens.
Oh, no!
Not a children's book.
Not a children's book.
Author has like a trash mind.
Well, but you know what? I mean, and
she doesn't. She is lovely and not that way.
But I guess Jenny's never heard the first book that I ever pitched to Lori Richmond that I thought she and I needed to write together, which was a picture book for adults. And it was like a history sort of book that was called Don't F*** with Andrew Jackson. He's a Badass Dueler. And I wanted to write like this whole picture book about all his duels, which I thought would be awesome.
I love it.
Okay, but I have to say something about this because it's really funny and interesting and also important. So we're sitting here talking about the picture book, like the award-winning picture book writer, Lori Richmond. And we're like, oh, she should write this book. She should totally write this story with me. Oh, she should do this and whatever. And what's funny is that people do that to writers all the time. People do that to me. My whole career, people have done that to me. I have the best idea for you. And then they launch into this whole thing. And I'm like, eh. Like every time. My mom, I have a story that you should write. And I'm like, dude, you want me to spend 3 years of my life and like all of my brain power and whatever on some dumb story that you came up with? Like, no. Like, it doesn't work like that, people.
Well, when I bring it up to Lori Richmond, what I really in my bones want her to do is turn around and say, I think that's a great story. You should totally write it. So I'd be like, yeah, you know what? I should totally write it.
Like, so
I don't need you.
What's stopping you?
What what we're doing is so not okay. Don't do it to any writer ever. I have a great idea for you.
Sorry, Lori.
Which, by the way, this was like three sets of dominoes, this chicken book, because you told me, Jenny, I have this great idea for you. You should write this book about the chickens.
I am so guilty.
Which then I turned and said to Lori Richmond, Jenny told me she had a great idea for us.
She's like, oh my gosh, that's Jenny Nash. I do it. I'm the biggest guilt. I am so guilty of this all day long. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's a book. I see books everywhere. You know that thing, like, I see dead people?
I see books everywhere.
Everywhere. So I'm telling people that. It's my job, you guys. So I'm telling people that all day long. And it's okay in a coaching context. I just like to defend myself. It's not okay in the way of, like, oh, Lori Richmond, we have a book for you.
Get on that if you would.
But I will end this little segue into Lori Richmond with the words, I love you, Lori Richmond.
We love you, Lori Richmond.
I've never met her. See, I really have never met her, even though I met Mel's husband. I've never met her. But I did order her her new book, and it's darling.
I sent her a picture of the book, Belle Holden It, at Barnes & Noble's the other day. And then I spent all day on Monday at the school library, helping a librarian shelf books and drawing Gerald and Piggy for a We Are in a Book display, like the Mo Willems thing, which, damn you, Mo Willems. You are so simple yet so complicated at the same time. It's really hard to draw your stuff, man, okay?
Wait, is he making you cry?
No, he's not making me cry, but man, it was tough. That was really hard. Of course, I got picky and tried to match the colors exactly. It was like, I got a little too much. But anyway.
You're like the dream library volunteer.
Oh, I shelved books. I was
she's
like,
she's the dream volunteer
so
anytime.
So excited to be in the library. And
like, you love books, you know how to draw, you're game to help, like, you're the catch.
Well, I even turned on, like, because, you know, how you always listen, like, it's your teacher ears, which are kind of like your mom ears at the same time. So Kristen, the librarian, actually, it was B's class, was in there, and she was trying to get them all to log into this coding thing on the website. Which, let me just tell you, walking 23 kids through how to log into a computer when everyone has a different login, it's like flipping impossible. And so I'm shelving books and I'm listening with one ear, you know. And finally, I just lay my stack of books down and I just walk over and I start going from kid to kid, like sort of helping them. So we kind of divided and conquered. And then when they were all logged in, I just walked back to my stack of books and just started going. I was
like, how it's done.
You just do it.
I was the worst volunteer because I would just like sit down and start reading the books. And I'm like, oh, this one's great. Can I take this home? I have a stack of books. They'd be like, these are for the children.
And me. And also
put that
me.
Back, Mrs. Nash.
So. I know. Volunteer. Oh my God. Okay. So I think we should talk about Abby's story because I hear you have a lot of questions.
Yeah. So what occurred to me the other day after I took this like detour from my two-tier outline, because at one point in my outline, you know, she and the dad, Bernadette and the father, have a fight and he disappears into his book. And I had only originally intended it to be sort of this thing where it was almost like the dad was being semi-petulant, you know, and like going to his office and shutting the door and taking a minute for himself. Sort of thing, you know? And then she essentially opens the book, reads him out, and then they go on with the story. But, you know, Jenny had pointed out that I was missing this golden opportunity to see my main character suffer, because I guess writers are like that. We like to see our characters suffer.
Let's see some suffering.
So, and it was true. It was a golden opportunity for her to like essentially make her problem worse, which I did. But I realized once I did it, Like, there was no way of getting her off the hook easily and then moving on with the story.
And why would you want that?
Right? And so...
you want them on the hook.
Now, I've taken this, like, not just, like, one chapter detour. It's like a 7-chapter detour. And I've realized that by the time I get her out, I get her father out of the book. He's lost in a book at this point, right? Once I get him out of the book, I've run out of words for like my genre, because essentially once I turn around and I fix all my red notes in Scrivener
with the heartbeat.
Sell it, because I don't even know how to say it. So
Scrivener, if you're listening, give us a hint.
I love you. I just can't say you. So whatever that program is that I use, that's wonderful and brilliant, and I keep track of all my notes. By the time I turn around and I go back and I fix all that stuff, like, I mean, it can't be an 80,000-word middle grades novel.
Well, I'm actually just looking up the
it's
girl who
30
drank
to 50,000, I think, is your typical.
Right, but the girl who drank the moon, which won the I was going to say the... which won the Newbery. You don't want to know what I was going to say. I think was way longer than that.
Sorry.
Look, 400 pages, 122,000 words.
So then here's my question, okay? Because I can very easily take this last part of my 2-tier novel and expand it. I could easily, I mean, I sat and I looked at it and I'm like, oh my God, I can easily make that a second book. So now my question is, once I sort of get him out of the book, is it better to turn around and judge what I've already written to make the problem that you start with at the beginning of the book be the problem you solve at the end of the book? Like, can I go back and work that in, or is it better to have a really long manuscript? Like, what, you know, what is going to serve my purpose and my reader's purpose better in the long run? Is it better to have a series, or is it better to squish it all into one?
So you're asking the question in a not good way. Okay. So I want to reframe the question. So a not good way. That's super precise, right? I don't think you're asking the right question, because there is no answer. The way you're asking that question,
it doesn't matter, right?
Well, it's as if there's an answer. Like, guess what, guys? I have the secret to how you can write a bestseller, and I'm just not telling anyone. But now I'll tell you the secret. The secret is, you know, you write it at exactly this length and you do exactly, it's just none of that.
So what serves the story? Like, what's the better way to break up my story? Is it to do it?
Always. Yeah. About what serves the story. And what does that even mean? So what you just said, you always have to have the end resolve the question that was brought up at the beginning. If you don't have that, you're just gonna, I guess, can I say piss off your reader? I was thinking we're to have children listening, but you're gonna piss off your reader. You're gonna upset them, because we want that resolution. We don't get that resolution in real life. We want it in a book. That's what we come for. And even in a series, you study some of the great series that we all know, each book stands alone, especially the first book. Totally stands alone. There is a story question and a resolution. No doubt about it. So you've got to really think through, what is the thing I want to have resolved in book one? It's separate. You got to pretend like there's not another book. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, what would it be for you?
So is it crazy that I probably should have done a little extra homework and gone back and pulled up some of my blueprint for a book exercises? Because at this point, I feel like I'm like swimming around, and I don't even remember what my stinking question was from the beginning. I'm like,
no, I think that that's actually
happens to people that they get to the end.
Oh no, it happens all the time. I mean, this is a complex thing that you're doing. Writing a book is a complex intellectual, emotional undertaking. Why would we think that you could just sit down and like do it and be done?
Because movies.
Yeah. So I'm looking at your blueprints, but it would take a while to go because you went around.
Oh my gosh.
You started with something that was different than where you ended up. And so the question that I would ask is, I think paying attention to word count, so middle grade word count, I've got that pulled up here, is in the up to 55,000 word range. And what I'm reading here in Writer's Digest says that it has been trending up in recent years, especially when aiming at the higher end of that,
which is
like upper middle grade. Mm-hmm. So word count is really important to pay attention to and to adhere to. I can't stand it when people come to me and they're like, I have a memoir and it's 700 pages. I'm like, nobody wants to read your 700 page memoir. They just don't. Your life is not that interesting, I promise. You know, so you can't just ignore word count, but if the story warrants going longer, you should go longer. Mm-hmm. How much longer is the question? It's got to be super earned. So I guess what I'm saying is don't let word count dictate what you do. That's not the right process. So, it's not like, oh, I'm at 55,000 words, so now I shall end it and then pick it up and start the
next
one.
You mean like our first podcast where I just like waited till we got to the 35-minute mark and I just pressed stop?
And that's it, guys. You're done. Stop.
I'm sorry. That's all we have time for today. Because I haven't written very much this week since I turned in my pages on Sunday night, I guess, because I knew I was going to be at the library all day on Monday. So I turned them in Sunday night, and I really haven't written anything because what's turning through my brain is, okay, if I make the last, like the final problem that she solves, like finding her dad, bringing him out of the book, figuring out how the book world works.
Yeah.
I know that one of the things that I need to go back and bake in is, I guess, maybe some more issues like with her dad, more issues with not liking books and having, you know, hating to read.
Those are not the right things.
And that's why I feel like I'm still like, it's not like just clicked just yet.
Right. So what you're doing though is you're focusing on the plot. What you've got to do is remember, what is this story really about? And the story is really about Bernadette accepting her weird family, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And accepting her weird self and being okay in her own skin. Mm-hmm. Does that feel fair?
Yeah, definitely fair.
That's what it's about. It's not a mystery about where does her dad go, mm-hmm. and how, like the reason the dad disappearing is important is because that puts pressure on Bernadette to realize my dad's not so bad. Mm-hmm. And when the dad disappears into the book, it's not just like, oh, that's an interesting, cool, dramatic turn of events. It pushes Bernadette to realize, oh, I could lose my dad. I could be without my dad. This is what it's like to not have a parent. And this is really scary. And, you know, so that all the dramatic plot events are there to make it bad for her around the idea you're writing about. So whenever you get stuck in a thing like this in the middle, don't solve it with plot. Mm-hmm. Solve it with story. Mm-hmm. So what I hear you saying is that, okay, so wait, what is your instinct about the second book? What would happen in the second book?
So the second book is that whole story where, you know, she somehow thinks that she's going to solve her issue of being different at school by using the book world to bring things out to help her. But remember, she's going to, like, kill off Ralph S. Mouse, which is then going to, like, send her down the, you know, a different path. But that ultimately, in the end, it's Claire puts them on the homecoming court so that she can make fun of them. But the dad says, you know, here's the book Wonder, but remember, you don't have to take anything out. Why don't you just use it for the ideas that are in it? And then she's able to take all those things to pull together, like the group of the baseball boys for the friends, and they solve the problem that way, you know, which was based on that whole thing that happened when I was teaching high school. And we had, you know, the freshman kids got together and nominated that special needs girl to the homecoming court. And so, like, there's a real life, you know.
Okay. So, but my question is, I have a lot of questions. Okay. Is that a whole book?
Oh, I totally think that's a whole book. I mean, I think that could easily be a whole book.
I think it could be a whole book.
But is it a whole book? Could there be another problem around which it's a whole book?
Another problem beyond accepting who you are and being able to use your strange strengths in order to. We're going to have to.
Are you feeling like, no, it's the same story?
No, I feel like that could very easily be a different book. That continues this book. I mean,
right, totally. So let's talk about this book. So at this book, she is going to lose her weird dad into the book. She's going to have to figure out how to get him out. She's connected with the other weird kid at school, and they have this thing. She's got the nemesis. And by the way, we haven't heard much from the nemesis,
which those are in my side notes, by the way, that I need to go back in.
And I didn't write that down, but it was in my head. I'm like, what happened to Claire?
No, Claire has to, we have to go back in and bake in a whole bunch of stuff about Claire, which I think will help strengthen this book, but yeah, also sets up for the next one.
Right. So I'm thinking, like, Claire, there's the whole thing about when Mrs. Brock drives them home to the wrong house. I'm thinking maybe Claire comes out, you know, and she's like, dude, this isn't your house, or whatever happens around that. But okay. So what are the two choices? The two choices are you make this book longer, you have all that stuff play out, but it does happen quickly. Mm-hmm. The resolution. Because it can't develop that. She can't have a bunch of characters come out. She can't be like, ooh, I'm going to, like, mm-hmm. She could totally abuse this superpower. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what a 13-year-old or 12-year-old kid wants, but, like, I'm going to have the baker come out and make me donuts every day. Or I'm going to have
You could get into some serious mischief.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, there's so many things that you could do that I think would easily strengthen both of these problems. I mean, almost see the first book, it's a problem that's more internal with herself and her home and her family. The second one is more external. It's the problem is at school.
It's never external, Abby Matthews.
No, but I mean, it's not where the adversity is coming from the kids at school.
Yeah, but it's still got to be some internal thing she's wrestling with, which you can work on later. But your very original idea was she goes into the books. Mm-hmm. So is that not even happening in book two, she doesn't go in?
I haven't had her go into the books at all because I'm still trying to figure out how would that work? And, like, in my head, I'm still wrestling with, well, like, who is her mom?
Yeah.
How does she go in if her dad is fictional? But Mom is not fictional, which is...
See, I'm thinking that's like, that could be big book too, right? Because now she's like, whoa, my dad's from a book. Who's my mom? Where is my mom? I'm a go-getter, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is what you have to do. I have some homework for you.
Okay.
You don't have to. It's a suggestion.
Are you going to give me detention if I don't do it?
Take it very seriously, Abby.
I would go back to the blueprint and to the two-tier outline and do a little mini two-tier outline. Like, it can just be that big. Mm-hmm. I'm holding my fingers apart like 5 inches. Mm-hmm. And do each of these as a book. Like, almost write book jacket copy, but you can just do bullet points. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. So we went through that with Aquari when you came on my Creative Live show, which was super fun. And, ooh, I just had an idea.
Lay it on me.
We might have to cut this out of the tape, but I'm doing the blueprint at Creative Live on June 25th in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. You could come do your second book.
Dude. Yes. Dude, yes.
You know, I never say no, Jenny. So
I'm just saying, I need people doing it. Mel, do you have another book?
Well, not yet, but I could if you wanted me to.
Anyway, I'm just throwing it out there. That's happening. It's going to be a gnarly long day. It's going to be 7 hours in the studio.
I love it.
Anyway, I would go back and write a little little chunk of the story. What is that? Like, literally let yourself do it. Okay, here's what book one looks like if all this stuff plays out in book one.
Okay.
Here's what book one looks like if it doesn't. Here's what book two looks like in those scenarios. And I would even let yourself do, because you've got three things. You've got the mystery of the dad and who he is and where he lives and how that all plays out. Mm-hmm. And Bernadette struggling with her identity and the boy. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing you have is, oh, I have this interesting new superpower. How does that play out in my life and my world and my school and my friends and maybe she gets cocky and thinks she can use it to get back at Claire and that backfires, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing is the mom.
Right.
So I would really play around with them and lay them out 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 1, like let yourself take the time and space to, you know, go back to the clay and see how that clay could be shaped and just short little chunks of it. But to see what it feels, because there is no right and wrong answer. And it doesn't, don't let the word count dictate it. Don't let, you know, some, I guess my feeling, I can reflect to you back. My feeling is that what you have happening and her figuring out her world and whatever feels like something different than her using what's in books. Mm-hmm. It feels like a different story. And
so using what's in books to essentially solve her problem of what's going on at school is different from using books to figure out how they work and how to reclaim her dad and her family situation and put everything back right again.
Right. I hate my dad. I hate my life. I hate that I have no friends. I hate how out of it I feel. I hate that I don't connect with anybody. All those things can be solved. And, you know, just the coming in and out of books, you know, you could decide how far to go. Like, maybe her dad takes her on a tiny little visit to his world this time. Oh, go.
Regency, England.
Mel, the Moors.
Sorry. I got all excited. I'll help you do research, Abby.
Can we dress in period clothes?
And then, you know, you have to answer the question, can Logan go into the books? Like, can anybody go into the books? And then there's that whole thing. So, what if people find out and now, like, are trying to get at them and they're, you know?
Do you know what I thought might have happened to Mom, who was a mere mortal? is that
did she get stuck?
She went into a book and got sick.
Oh, no.
Like, Love in the Time of Cholera. She got cholera. And so that's why Dad locks the door to the library, is not to keep those things in, but to keep Bernadette out, because he doesn't want to lose her the way he lost the mom.
Oh,
so
Abby.
That's why I have her not ever going into the books.
Oh, do it.
That's gorgeous. So the dad actually doesn't want her to know and doesn't. Oh, my God. This
and
is
that's
so
why
good.
He was hiding it the whole time.
In the 1800s. Sorry.
This is so good. Now you have not just a quirky dad, but a dad with the freaking narrative arc and mission and motivation to keep his daughter distant from him. This is genius.
So work that in to the start of the book as well, then.
And she hates to read because he didn't want her to like to read. There are not books all over their house.
So maybe, I was going to say, maybe start to pull that aspect out of having all the books everywhere.
Totally. Totally. So when she drops a book, like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, but you don't want it to be like, ooh, what's this? You know, there maybe there's books around, but they're old and dusty and boring and stupid. And she's just like,
she's
I hate
not
it.
Interested.
They're yeah. in boxes put away. They're in
and
cabinets.
They smell,
you can't see them.
The way the plus, really old yucky books smell.
Plus the dad who won't allow you to have technology. Like you don't even have a phone in your house. All you want is the technology.
Yeah.
So right? he's protecting her though. I mean,
yeah, but she's
that's his mindset.
I just want a secret iPad that I had hide under the bed. I don't want something, you know? Oh my gosh, that changes everything in a beautiful, powerful way.
This is book therapy.
Book therapy.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. That's what this is.
And so what you just figured out was a major, major, major piece of your world, which impacts pretty much everything.
So isn't it weird, though, that I've been thinking that since day one, but I guess I've never opened my mouth and said it, which is strange.
No, it's not weird. It's just the way it works. So, yeah, you've got a couple. You don't get to write this week.
That's all right. I got to figure it out because that maybe that's why I felt a little stalled the last couple days when I sat down, is because something was really like the gears in my head were just grinding.
Yeah. You got to go figure this out. And so you've got two things to do. Thing one is where is this book going to end? What problem is going to be resolved? And then how does that play forward in books two and possibly three? And then the second thing is going back through what you have, and you might not actually execute it, but I would go back through and just be like, okay, in this chapter, I need to do X, I need to do Y, I need to do Z, you know,
make just those notes along the side.
Exactly. Exactly. And just sort of so that you know what you have to do to yank that thread through from the beginning. And it's interesting because Logan brings her over to his house with a mom who loves books and they love literary movies. And, you know, obviously he lives in a house that values story. And, you know, so that could be played up a little bit as well.
And I didn't even think about that as I incorporated all of that.
But this is a really perfect example of the way that like story begets story, that and you only really can figure it out by doing it. There is no substitute for doing it. And that's actually, I can get on my soapbox for a little minute. That's why I object so strongly to all the methods that are like, we shall plot the crap out of this book and outline it to death and lock it in and then just write that. Because it's like what happens when something like this happens, where there's a discovery or you write your way into something, you write your way into an awareness of what your story is really about or the power that you really didn't know was there. Like, this is amazing. And it just, you know, so it took all this time to get here. So what? But now it's still, I always use that clay metaphor. It's still wet clay. You can go back and fix it and massage it and get it together. And, So your solution to where this book ends has everything to do with what is this story really about? Mm-hmm. And then if this story becomes really about, all right, Bernadette is going to come to terms with her own strange family, her own identity, her own otherness, connecting with another person in Logan. And she's going to come to understand why her dad is so weird and why he's been so, why their house is weird. She's going to come to understand all those things. It's going to have to do with her mom. Mm-hmm. So then the obvious thing for the next book is going to have to do with her mom.
Okay.
So I think if she reads people out of books in book two, it's going to be circling around, how can I bring my mom back? I just want to meet my mom. Like, you got to figure out what her goal is, but she would be practicing or trying or accidentally bringing people out of books. You know, she would be scared to go to wherever mom is because her mom, like, it's tricky where her mom is. But Abby, do you see, this is a big, big moment.
Yeah. So this is one of those times where I'm going to have to go back and listen to our podcast like a million times before it comes out as it all like sinks in.
Sinks in, yeah.
Because there's so much here that I feel like now needs to get sorted out in order to figure out how to proceed.
But what you did, just to reflect it back to you, is really smart, which is that you recognized that something was trying to get out. And it was, if you think about it, if you had just tried to solve that with the plot, mm-hmm. you know, or with an external thing like, oh, well, the word count, I'll end it. Do you see how horrible that would be for the story?
Well, I think the word count was more like, was just another red flag. Like, I knew something didn't feel right. And so when I started looking back, I'm like, well, shouldn't I be wrapping my story up at this point? Like, that was more what the word count was signaling to me. Like, at first I thought, is my pacing off for the genre that I'm writing? Because I still feel like I have so far to go, but I'm approaching what would ultimately be the end of my book. And I was like, so that was just like a flag that maybe I needed to really think about what was going on. Not necessarily because I was trying to be, you know, picky about the number of words and thinking like, I have 7 buckets and I filled my 7 buckets. I'm just going to, you know, end the story now, you know, or whatever.
A very rich world that I think absolutely could sustain a series in a lot of different ways. So I would definitely think about, there will be multiple books, and what will the second one be? Mm-hmm. And then what, therefore, should the first one be? And, you know, that you have a chance to also figure out some stuff in the world. Mm-hmm. Can she go in a book? Will her dad, like, lay down his life for her not to go in a book? Can Logan go in a book? Can Claire go in a book? Mm-hmm. What happens when people come out? What kind of bad mischief stuff could go down?
Because when Ralph comes out and he dies at school, all they have to do is put him back in his book because he's a freaking book character, and they just read him out again and he's fine. I mean, you can't kill him off. He's a freaking book character. But when you're a human and you go into a book, you don't get that same, there's not that same reciprocity.
And you get the consumption, and then the you're dead, and you're buried in a churchyard and somewhere in Regency, England.
Sorry. Who wants to go to Regency, England so badly?
So bad.
Why are you writing a Regency romance?
Because Mel and I can't write kissing and sex.
We've already talked about this. There's no sex in Regency romances. Come on.
That's true.
Morning and eating breast.
Is there even kissing? I mean, do they? Oh my God! For as many times as I've read Pride and Prejudice, is there even kissing? I don't even think there's kissing.
Not in
Mel,
Jane
that
Austen.
Might be our thing.
Maybe. I don't know. Jane Eyre's a way hotter book, though. Not really.
Wow. We've hit our time limit, people. Speaking of word counts and time limits, podcasts do have a time limit. So when Jenny has to leave and Mel has to go to work, we've got...
This is a big thing for you, Abby. I'm excited.
I'm so excited, too. I'm like, I'm actually going to shut off the recording. I'm going to go back. I'm going to download it on my phone, and I'm going to listen to it again when I go pick the kids up so that I can...
percolate.
I'm sorry, all you writers that don't get to record sessions with Jenny Nash and Mel Parrish, to go back and listen to
the thing. The thing that makes it so powerful is not me. I don't do anything. The thing is that you're just setting aside time to stop and think about the process and just stop and process. And, you know, that's what's powerful. Awesome.
Yep. Well, friends, thank you.
We gotta move along.
We
Bye,
do.
Everybody.
Bye, everyone. Have an awesome time.
Thanks for joining us this week. Now go forth and eat yourselves silly with yummy food. Have a beautiful Thanksgiving, and we will see you back here next time on Mom Writes.
Happy Thanksgiving.